Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
So good morning.
Good morning.
And so today is New Year's Eve, as well as the Feast of the Holy Family. But we're going to reflect on tool number 57 from chapter 4 today again. And that reads, every day with tears and sighs, confess your past sins to God in prayer. The Cardong translation has, confess your past sins to God with tears and groaning at daily prayer. A little stronger, perhaps, that sense of groaning. A good way to conclude the year 2023, and maybe prepare us for 2024. The Latin, having looked at that, I was, maybe to my surprise, but at any rate, there really are no particular nuances that struck me, so we won't go through a Latin reflection in the original language of the rule. But when we speak about confessing past sins with tears and groaning at daily prayer, perhaps the first image that will come to our mind from the gospel will be that of the tax collector, sometimes called the publican, versus the Pharisee. And I think we know that story well enough. You know, and tax collectors were officials that worked for the state to collect taxes. And the genius of Roman governance, and while in one sense it was so successful in ruling such a large and diverse empire, was because they knew how the Romans how to employ natives of the conquered peoples. So it was the native peoples that were there and maybe in these dubious or controversial positions, not the Romans themselves. And as I think we know, a tax collector could levy higher taxes than what the government, in this case the Roman government, appropriated. So you had the concept of the rich tax collector, for example, Zacchaeus. But as you can well imagine, these collaborators, and that's how they were looked upon by the other native peoples that were conquered, were despised. Both culturally and morally, because they betrayed the people, the local people. And we know from the synoptic tradition, gospel tradition, that Jesus ate with sinners and with tax collectors. And nowhere actually in the synoptic tradition does Jesus condemn the occupation as such, as tax collector. That's interesting. Maybe need to look or reflect on that. But what is the lesson of the parable in the context of tool 57? Again, we're probably familiar enough with the commentaries. But it's clear between the tax collector and the Pharisee, and I think in both cases we need to recognize both within our heart. We're both the Pharisee and the tax collector, but the Pharisee here is obsessed with his own virtue. In other words, what we call self-righteousness. He's convinced in his holiness. versus the tax collector who recognizes that he's not holy. He recognizes his unworthiness before God and recognizes his need for God's mercy and confesses this need to God for mercy. And of course, the Jesus prayer part of that comes from this parable. Have mercy on me, O Lord, a sinner. In other words, this tax collector has humility. He comes to God in this humility, and interestingly enough, he speaks very few words, or only what is necessary. The Pharisee is just the opposite. First of all, he, in our Cistercian value system, he makes himself singular. He singles himself out for his tremendous holiness and sets himself apart from every other human being, in particular this tax collector. Because he's constantly comparing, contrasting himself, again, with others, but in this case, a tax collector. And this is the problem. And as we know from the parable, the Pharisee is very loquacious about doing it. He goes on and on and on about how much he's fasting and how much he's tithing, and all those kinds of things, following the letter of the Mosaic law, as it were. So we have really a good lesson in self-righteousness versus the righteousness of God. In other words, a good lesson in self-will versus following God's will for my life, which is the righteousness of God. In our monastic teaching, in the sense of the other aspects of the Rule of Benedict that shed light on Tool 57, we know from Chapter 20, Reverence and Prayer, that St. Benedict says, we know that God regards our purity of heart and our tears of compunction, not our many words. So there we have, he's taking this lesson from this parable and cautioning us about verbiage. And as well as stating the fact that one who enters more and more into purity of heart and really experiences compunction, words become unnecessary or they get in the way of our relationship with God. And of course, we speak of this hesychia, this entering into rest, into quiet, our heart does in this relationship with God. Because no words, even noble or precious words, as St. Benedict would say in Chapter 3 on silence, it's best just to refrain from verbiage. Furthermore, in Chapter 7, which is a chapter on humility, our first step of humility, St. Benedict lays out, is never forget the fear of God. Now, St. Bernard, in his sentences, has this quote, forgetfulness is the death of the soul. So never forget the fear of God. In other words, the focus of my vocation is on my relationship with God. It's not a focus on my neighbor. And of course, I think you'll recognize how important this is in the Cenobitic life. It's not that I ignore the neighbor or have no relationship with the neighbor. That's not what Benedict is making reference to. I'm certainly not emphasizing that. Because our Cenobitic life is every bit as horizontal as it is vertical. But what St. Benedict is really getting to his point is probably from 2 Thessalonians 3, where St. Paul says, "We hear that some are conducting themselves among you in a disorderly way by not keeping busy, but minding the business of others." You know, we're so focused on the faults of my neighbor that I have no time to reflect on my own faults. And again, we have the parable in Matthew of the log versus the speck. Take the log out of your eye so you can see the speck in your neighbor. And then, of course, the whole role of self-knowledge, this humility. As I grow in integrity, truthfulness, humility, ironically, my past becomes more present. Maybe because I am paying attention. I am no longer forgetting. And so I understand the past in the light of what I know today in my experience. And I will regret the mistakes of the past, by what I know now in the present. You know, how often we hear someone say, "Had I known, I would never have done such and such a thing." Well, brothers, to recognize the truth of the entirety of my life is already a sign of the Holy Spirit working and confessing within me to lead me forward along this path of conversion, making possible my cooperation with this divine physician who heals and will transform me into the person that God created me to be and therefore desires me to be and therefore wills me to be. And this becomes a daily exercise, as St. Benedict says in chapter 58 on the formation and the process of the process of formation for the novice. This becomes a daily exercise because it is of grace and a natural part of my daily seeking of God. So confess your past sins to God with tears and groaning at daily prayer. And I would add, as he will add at the end of the Tools of Good Works, and never despair.